¿Cuáles las críticas de Washington a la selección china de personas que presentan al mundo la antorcha olímpica se ha transformado en una lección de derechos humanos para la Unión Americana? Beatriz Salas amplía la información.
Decidir sobre quiénes serán los portadores de la antorcha en la ceremonia inaugural de los Juegos Olímpicos de invierno en Pekín es la responsabilidad de China, y Estados Unidos no está en posición de hacer comentarios despectivos. Así respondió Pekín a la reciente interferencia de Washington, quien aseveró que la elección de China del atleta de la etnia Uyghur, de Nijir Dilamujian, para llevar la antorcha olímpica es un esfuerzo de Pekín para distraer la atención del llamado genocidio en la región de Xinjiang.
Los llamados comentarios de genocidio de Estados Unidos son la gran mentira del siglo y exponen su intento de politizar los Juegos Olímpicos de invierno y su siniestra intención de utilizar el tema relacionado con Xinjiang para difamar a China.
China asimismo acusó a Estados Unidos de mentir de manera descarada sobre las minorías étnicas, mientras olvida sistemáticamente discriminaciones en su propio suelo.
Estados Unidos llevó a cabo un genocidio contra los nativos americanos en el pasado y ha discriminado sistemáticamente a las minorías raciales a largo plazo. La población de nativos americanos se ha desplomado de 5 millones a finales del siglo XV a unos 250 mil a principios del siglo XX, reduciéndose a una vigésima parte. ¿Qué es el genocidio? Las políticas que Estados Unidos ha impuesto a los nativos americanos son un verdadero genocidio.
Zhao, además de criticar la discriminación racial contra los africanos y asiáticos en Estados Unidos, dijo que elegir a un atleta de la etnia Uyghur muestra que la política de China de promover los deportes de invierno y mejorar la salud de las personas está beneficiando a individuos de todos los grupos étnicos y prueba que no existe discriminación.
Lo que Estados Unidos debería estar haciendo es revisar cuidadosamente sus propios crímenes históricos contra los nativos americanos y tomar medidas concretas para reducir la discriminación racial contra estas personas y otras minorías raciales, como los africanos y asiáticos.
China, en reiteradas ocasiones, ha instado a Estados Unidos a dejar de usar los asuntos vinculados con Xinjiang para difundir mentiras, interferir en los asuntos internos de China o intentar detener el desarrollo del país. Advierte que, de lo contrario, Pekín dará una respuesta más contundente a la luz del desarrollo de la situación. Beatriz Salas con información de Niloufar Shakuri, Hispan TV Noticias.
Migrantes de todos los rincones del mundo duermen bajo su mismo cielo estrellado. Me los encuentro en las calles, en los cines, en los supermercados, y el olor de sus comidas me embriaga de placer. Todos ellos son mis vecinos.
Y yo aquí vivo, bajo sus leyes domésticas, pago impuestos y mis manos producen la riqueza nacional.
Soy parte de esa comunidad que vive, trabaja y sueña con una mañana mejor para nuestras familias.
Casi todos migrantes como yo, casi todos soñadores como yo.
Trabajemos pues en la construcción de otra nación que nos haga dignos.
Seamos los arquitectos de nuestro sueño colectivo.
Esta radio no tiene comerciales porque tú nos apoyas. Si ya has hecho una aportación económica, te damos las gracias. Si no, hazlo ahora en kpfk.org o llama al 818-985-5735.
Así llegamos al final de esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Nuestro más profundo agradecimiento a todos los medios y personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
They told me, you know, we'll give you a day, we'll give you a week, however long it takes for you to accept our help to be healed and to become a child of God and denounce being gay.
Honoring the memory of Dr. Anonymous, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
got three quarters of the way through several times and was like, well, I have no idea how this would end, so I have to start over. But one thing I know is I can't end a story without hope.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Nicaragua's NGO Purge targets its oldest queer group. Gay Taiwanese movie sings out a universal love song and upending the artistic process with Amanda Kayback. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Joe Bainline.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 28, 2021. The government of Nicaragua is aiming to shut down the country's oldest LGBTQ advocacy group. The Interior Ministry has asked the National Assembly to annul the legal nonprofit status of Fundación Xaquiquetzal and 14 other non-governmental organizations. President
Post-World Industries apnar jonne awaz al pagole kotha niya.
Eso que Chacán está aterrado a la subversión de la máquina cultural dominante y absolutamente vencedora.
Washington será.
Their clandestine radio stations are the voices of the revolution.
So, coming up next on the stream of Freak Radio, it's Bathrob Spears Broadsides, also on the Huff website if you're into the archives, and that's often the easiest way to get this show. In any case, this is August 4th, 2022. We're going to be doing some covering of Berkeley and the attack on People's Park and the defense of People's Park that happened just yesterday. I don't have a lot of on-the-spot stuff. I'm going to be reading more about it. And I've tried to reach people up there, but I have not been able to so far. So maybe on Sunday I'll have a better report, though I'm told secondhand that the struggle is still going on up there. Who knows? Maybe I'll even meander up there myself and see what's cooking. In any case, you're also going to be hearing more from the Benchlands. Continued discussion of the fallout from the OVO success that we had at the Coastal Commission, but what to do next. And, well, hang on and you'll find out.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So I'm going to begin by going to the People's Park website, which is peoplespark.org. And there's an alert to save People's Park. UC Berkeley construction businesses and police move to destroy Berkeley's landmark open space and community of People's Park August 3rd. So it looks like the updates are a little out of date on this website. 1:52 p.m. yesterday, August 3rd, is the last update. I'll read, however, what is already on the website. Call in to Berkeley City Council Thursday, August 4th, 2022 at 8:15 p.m. to stop the use of tear gas, pepper spray, and smoke. Discussion and possible use regarding the temporary suspension of the June 9th, 2020 policy prohibiting the use of the tear gas, smoke, and pepper spray for the duration of the City Council recess. In other words, the City Council of Berkeley at that point wanted to, or those who are making up the agenda, wanted to say, okay, the use of tear gas, smoke, and pepper spray. Here's an update written on the People's Park website. Berkeley Mayor Jesse Arguin has canceled tonight's meeting, described below. Perhaps he's getting some spine, or he's just worried about national media attention. He tweeted, meeting canceled, policy stands, and shame on the sheriff for not guaranteeing mutual aid emergency support to Berkeley because he disagrees with our tear gas ban. Which, interesting that Sheriff's Department can sort of, I don't know, persuade the Berkeley City Council to throw a meeting. I don't know, don't they normally have Thursday meetings? I thought they had them on Tuesday, but maybe not. And here's more details on that. The Berkeley City Manager has requested to allow use of tear gas, smoke, and pepper spray while City Council goes on summer vacation. So the Berkeley City Council just called a special meeting for Thursday. Ah, yes, it was a special meeting. And the one agenda item is, and special meetings usually have one item, and there's no public, there's public comment on that item, but there's no oral communications period. Discussion and possible action regarding the temporary suspension of the June 9th policy, which I think I read before. And the People's Park website writers urge, call in and demand the council does not allow this violent city manager's wish. And apparently that meeting was canceled by the mayor after reflecting that it might get a little out of hand after this is a mayor who was elected on a liberal progressive platform who has essentially betrayed his promises, according to, well, at least activist Carol Denny, who we've had reports from, according to my own assessment in terms of how he's treating homeless people, in terms of allowing sweeps to continue through a sweepster city manager, which is kind of reminiscent of Santa Cruz. And here's a letter to the Berkeley City Council from Terry Compost, who I'm familiar with, actually. I think I know her personally. I haven't seen her in some time, and I don't know we have the most closest, the most intimate relationship, but she's an activist who I've interviewed in the past and has been a defender of People's Park and also a defender of homeless people's rights here in Santa Cruz. And anyway, what she writes, dear Berkeley Mayor and City Council, it has come to my attention you could consider suspending the city's policy against the use of tear gas, smoke, and pepper spray for the duration of the City Council recess. The irresponsibility of putting an action like that in place during a time when the council cannot act and respond to the situation is extremely irresponsible, if not criminal. I can only imagine you're considering it under pressure from your UC controllers to encourage them forward in their attack on People's Park and the people of Berkeley. The folly of the plan to try to build on People's Park is evident. It has been an immoral and blatantly classist and racist assault against one of the few refuges in the city in which all people are served. The response of the people should not be a surprise to you. Building on People's Park is a direct attack against a lot of people, some with nothing to lose. If UC or Berkeley truly wants housing, you will build it elsewhere. There is no scenario where putting a dorm on People's Park could possibly go smoothly. Now it's in your hands. Do you want your legacy to be a bloodbath for this folly? UC creates the problem of scarce housing by admitting unsustainable numbers of students and then pretends to solve the problem they created. Well, I'll let you in on a little secret. People's Park is a tar baby. The more you attack it, the more stuck you'll be covered in the tar of the evil of attacking the poor, the environment, and our hopes and dreams. Maybe with enough money, force, police, overtime, added expenditures, fences, and ill will, the university can cram in something, but it will never rest peacefully there. I suggest you don't commit to protracted war on the poor of your city. I think they already are, but that's another story. You cannot win. You will create more poverty and pain and devastation that will continue to ripple out. There is a righteous stand to take here. Gus Newport did the right thing when he's a former mayor from the 70s, when he refused to allow the City of Berkeley Police Department be the ground troops for UC's bad plan in 1979. The city is prohibited attacking peaceful protesters with chemical weapons for a reason. It is immoral. History will remember the decisions you make. Peace can be made. A dorm can be built on the parking lot of Ellsworth and Channing, but it will take legislators of conscience and intelligence to take leadership and bring our town back to peace. Please do not put swords into the wannabe overlord's arsenal to slaughter your city while you are on vacation. Please do the right thing. People's lives are at stake, and you must be responsible now. Thank you, Terry Compost, longtime Berkeley People's Park community organizer, gardener, educator. And apparently people are continuing to do events in People's Park. At least they're announcing them on the website. Thursday mornings, that will be this morning, earlier today, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., open-air temple gatherings with music and dance. I'm not sure that that happened with the loss of a... It says, we will grieve the loss of our beloved trees and draw strength in being together. We will sing, pray, meditate, dance, stretch. All are welcome. And I don't know if that actually happened or not, but who knows? Maybe I can find out. And then tomorrow, Fridays at 12:30, garden walks in People's Park continue. Meet at the Lemon Verbena in the southwest corner of the park. Not sure where that is, but... if you go up there and check around, you might find it in case you happen to find yourself in Berkeley tomorrow. Here's a letter from Dieter Müller-Greven, a People's Park supporter from 1972. Dear friends of Berkeley People's Park, coming from Germany in 1972, hitchhiking across the USA to San Francisco, I heard about Berkeley People's Park, about the history from 1969, which was still fresh in 1972, and helped to defend the People's Park in May 1972. I still remember vividly the demonstration on Telegraph Avenue and helped tear down the fence at People's Park. Now I hear the UCB is still trying to occupy this historic place. Let me know if I can help in any way. May just tell you about the memories of Johnny's Soup Kitchen on Telegraph Avenue, or when we blocked the streets to Oakland Harbor with cars from junkyards to prevent the aircraft carrier from getting supplies so it couldn't go to Vietnam to bomb dikes to drown people, or about hiring a helicopter to coordinate the demonstration by FM radio from the air, or just from the all-night drum players in front of the Student Union building. Maybe there is a historic archive about this half-century-lasting fight for the park. I wish you all good luck. Keep this place in the hands of people and turn it into a historic monument with just grass and trees, benches and playgrounds, no concrete, no houses. Take care, Dieter Müller-Greven. So on July 27th, according to the website here, there was a concert and a series of speakers on the People's Park stage, which of course will be torn out by the building and construction that the UC was started to do but then was stopped from doing yesterday. In case you haven't been told about that, that's what went down, according to the mainstream media that I heard, and even now corrupted KPFA mainstream media, because I think that's more or less what they are these days. But early on Wednesday morning, bulldozers came in, police came in, drove away people from the park, tried to put up a fence. People then later in the day tore it down, attacked the bulldozers, stopped them, put themselves in front of it nonviolently. Others attacked it with more force. And they The university announced it was stopping construction for the moment. Now, I don't know if they're still stopping as of Thursday, but I'm trying to keep my ears peeled, so to speak. I guess you keep your eyes peeled, but or keeping my ears alert. Anyway, here's something from that happened on July 27th, where speakers came to the park to defend it, anticipating this kind of behavior by the UC, it looks like.
I want to welcome you on behalf of the People's Park Council, on behalf of sort of a network of folks who on the daily come through and contribute and work on the to try to help people understand why this park is so sacred.
And this is Andrea Pritchard of Copwatch, who's been a longtime activist. I've known her for about 25 years now. I met her at a demonstration that we held in Santa Cruz in 1990 called the Homeless People's Congress in our park, in San Lorenzo Park, which in a way it's modern-day People's Park, at least the Benchlands is, in the sense that it's more of a refuge for people who have no place to go, and it's a sort of a place where the city is cramming people in rather than letting them reasonably spread out to different places. But it's trying to maintain its massive control and concentration of homeless folks, which is a failed strategy, has been for a long time here in Santa Cruz. Anyway, here's Andrea talking about, well, you'll hear what she's talking about.
And so important. I also want to offer us the opportunity to counter a narrative, a negative narrative that has been put forward by the university and by the city. They tell us that People's Park is not a park, it's just a place where, it's just crazy people and drug addicts. That's the only people who are here. And we need to remember